Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's a good, bright, sunshiny morning, and we welcome you. So good to be in the Lord's house, to be with you, and we just enjoy fellowshipping with you in the Lord. This morning, I'm going to go to Psalms 23. We haven't done this for a while. Beautiful, beautiful psalm, and I'm going to lead you in this. So if you want to share with us, as we together do the Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
For him of worship this morning, a huge number, 60th first and last verse, and Betty will have her prayer. That's all I'm saying.
Worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, proclaimed in splendor and girded with praise. Praise children of dust and people.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to come together as a church family and just to recognize Thee and honor You, dear God, to thank You for the past week and the rich blessings that You have blessed us with, Almighty God, how You've just did some wonderful, wonderful things in our lives and the lives of our people here, and we thank You for that. You're worthy of our time. You're worthy of our worship, dear God. We just wish we could come up with words eloquent enough to praise You and to thank You and Your Son Jesus, a wonderful Savior that we have. So thank You, dear God, for the freedom we have to come together like this. Thank You for the good people gathered here, Heavenly Father. And we pray now, dear Heavenly Father, that You will look into our lives. We ask You this often, Heavenly Father, You look into our lives. You know what we're faced with. You know what we're going through. You know what we have to do and how and what we have to do with. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll look into each life here today, that You will give us instruction, You'll give us guidance through our worship service, that, Heavenly Father, as we go forth this week, we'll look to You and know that all things is going to work for good for us because we have come to honor and worship and desire You to work in our lives. Now, Heavenly Father, once again, might the Holy Spirit be in our presence and encourage each one here today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
First communion hymn, we'll use number 158, sing the first and last verse.
When I survey the on our life.
Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye always, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine, until the day when I drink it with you in the Father's kingdom." Shall we pray? Father, as we come here and partake of your holy communion, let us remember the bread represents Jesus' broken body, and the juice represents his blood that he shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might have eternal life. Father, we thank you for this great sacrifice, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day and the whole of many blessings of life. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather here in your house on the Lord's Day. Bring back a portion of thee for our tithes and offering. Forgive us for our many sins. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen. Some thoughts to share with you this morning. We look around and see several of our people are absent, and we have some of them have good reason for that. We'll share some of that with you. We're so glad that you're here, though, and we're always glad to see each and every one of you here on the Lord's Day. Kim and Keith is not here because they're on vacation with Matthew and the family, the spring break and so forth, so we pray that they all have a great, good time, a comfortable time. And Debbie's not here. She flew off last week to Spain. It was Spain, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And we pray that she'll have a safe trip there. Who else is missing here that we see? All right. Okay, so keep those in mind. Tonight, we're going over to Corinth to hymn sing. And so we're glad that the car is all geared up and ready to go. And they always do a fine presentation there, and they represent us well, and we appreciate that so very much. And always a good reputation for however you say that, always do good for Porter. We thank you for that, and we thank you for your extra effort that you do take in doing that. Okay, and no, we'll dismiss choir practice. Dismiss Bible study tonight because of people that be going over there and so forth. Okay, this weekend, Friday night, will be our special Friday night together. We're hoping the sun's going to be shining and it's going to be pretty because Omer's just itching to get to throw that bag. Yeah. So we're looking forward for a great time and there. Okay, Sierra, you got a birthday. That's kind of that's coming up. Yeah, this week. Oh, you. You'd be sweet 16?
Sure.
Sure. You passed that. Okay, we won't want to. All right, let's look at our prayer list then and go over it a little bit. Nobody's said much, but Virginia's back. She was absent last week, wasn't well, so we're glad she's back. And Kathleen, she's on the bench this morning and doing okay. And you folks, it's so good to be here, see you here. But Pauline is absent, and she's just not up to par, but she's a little, I think, as Doodle said, she's more concerned about her dog than she is her. Her dog is not doing well, so we understand that, you know, and, you know, our pets and so forth we have, and we love them and so forth, and if they don't feel well, well, we understand that. Yeah, so pray for her. Pray for things that will happen good for her. Who else want to... Vernon, boy, I don't know whether you heard about Vernon this week or not. Doodle was telling me that Vernon was down in the basement. He's coming up the basement steps, and he fell backwards down the steps. And so he's kind of got himself and crumped up a little bit, bruised up, and probably sore and so forth from that. So we're glad that, glad he didn't get really hurt real, real bad, as bad as it is, and so forth. And Wayne was telling me this morning his brother is still doing a little better, and so we continue to pray for him that he will continue to do better. Who else are some of the ones we have on our prayer list I want to see there? Just keep them in mind. And also, let's try this week. Everybody that's connected with some of those folks on the prayer list, let's try to contact them. We haven't had a going over, have we, Donna, our prayer list for a while? Yeah. Let's try to do that next week and let Donna, especially Donna, know, or me and Donna, whichever, and so that we can update our, I know there's some on there that we haven't heard from or and so forth, and we'd like to hear from, and hopefully they're doing better. Hopefully there's some on there that we can get news that we can take off the prayer list that we had before. So keep all those in mind. And then also we've talked to you about Lynn and Marge's daughter, Tammy. Tammy, they're in Houston, Texas now. Lynn and Marge has gone with Tammy and the family. And she's had this cancer. And so they was lined up to go and get an operation down in Texas. And they're there now. She'll be operated on tomorrow. And this tremendous battle she's having with cancer, and they're going to operate her on it, and hopefully things will all go well. So tomorrow, if you will, remember Tammy, that things will go well for her there. Then Charlie and Jennifer, that's been coming. I thought they was going to be here this morning. I was talking to him last night. But Charlie and Jennifer, they have a little grandson about like this, Andrew. He's just quite a little fella. And he, in summertime, he stayed out there with Charlie and them. He worked around the shop and with him and so forth. I've had him work on something for me or something. I've been out there and helped him a time or two. And he's just eager and gets into there, and he wants to be a mechanic, you know, and he'll get greasy and all that good stuff. But he had tonsillitis infection. And so he was operated on day four yesterday for that. And so if you, little Andrew, if you will, keep him in your prayers that things will work out and he'll just get well and just keep on and going. Just a grand little fellow. And anyone else that, any thoughts about our nation, our people that's in the care homes, we want to always remind them, our service people. We mention them every week, but hopefully daily that you'll keep them in your prayers. And this church family, pray for good things for this church family to happen. And God is good to us, and just talking with you and being around with you is to know that God does good things for you. And we've experienced things, and Doodle back there, his pain, his hip pain, and that's really been helping. So we're just rejoicing, things like that. And even though we don't mention here in the last few weeks about Judy having her neck problems or headaches and so forth, but she does still have those things occasionally. And same way with our fine piano player here, Kathleen, and we just pray that those things will subside and just, you know, just be concerned about your brothers and sisters in Christ here and pray for each other in a good way. As we come to our prayer time, God is so good, bless us so wonderfully.
Four prayer hymn, use number 99, first and third verse, and Doodle will have her prayer. Let's all stand.
There's a garden where Jesus is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair. Glory glows in the light of His presence. Tis a beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and He opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting, and He bids you come meet with Him there. Just to bow and receive a new blessing in the beautiful gates to the beautiful garden of prayer.
Father, we thank you for blessing us with this beautiful day to be in the house. We set this special time aside. We ask you to touch the ones that are on the prayer list. We ask that you be the ones that many mentioned, that you touch their lives and be made better. We ask that you be with this congregation and the ones in it that need your healing hand. We ask that you touch them and this great nation of ours. We pray that the men and women in service will be coming home safely. We pray that you touch the lives of the leaders of this country, that decisions may be made in your way. We also ask you, Lord, to be with Vince and bring this morning's message and forgive us when we fail. These words you ask in thy name.
Amen. Invitation hymn in number 334. 334. And have the choir bring a special.
And with the Savior we enter the glory land. Won't it be wonderful land? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land. Won't it be wonderful land? Won't it be wonderful land? Having no burden to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the supernal one, won't it be wonderful there?
Praising, adoring the matchless eternal one,
won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burden to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be
Thank you, Kathleen and Choir. I haven't heard that for a while, but that's real nice. I like that. It really will be wonderful when we get there. What a wonderful time. I kind of great to be here, great to live in this world we're living in, but boy, what we have in the future for us is great, great, great. That's going to be wonderful. Spend an eternity in the bliss of God. Great. Well, we've been picking out something from where we've been reading. Of course, we're in 1 Samuel, but I told you also we'd probably drop off and go talk about Easter. And so I picked today to start to do that, and because we're only, a month away from Easter now. And it'll be come upon us rapidly. We're looking forward to that, but we will have our regular services that we've had. We will have our Friday night service. We'll have our sunrise service. And we'll have our special service on Easter Sunday. We call it Easter Sunday. And I've said before, I quit using Easter because I just want to think about it as Resurrection Sunday. But the world knows when we talk about Easter what we're talking about. And so I've got so here lately, I use interchange with Easter with Resurrection Sunday. And because, you know, I think some people, when you talk about Resurrection Sunday, they really don't know what you're talking about. Talking about Easter, well, then they do know somewhat about Jesus and he died and so forth. Okay, but what I want to do this morning is Easter Answers, the title I have here, Easter Answers, is there a life after death? And you folks know this scripture real well, but if you'll bear with me, I'm going to read this passage and familiarize us with it. So bear with me. Chapter 11, it reads like this. And a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore the sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that, he said unto his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again? And Jesus answered, art thou not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in a day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light is of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. And they said unto Jesus and unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, so soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him, and Mary sat still in the house. Then said Jesus unto her, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou ask of God, God will give to thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went over her way and called Mary. Mary, her sister, and secretly saying, the Master has come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was at that place where Martha met him. And the Jews were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, and she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come, when Jesus was, saw him, she fell down at his feet and said unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the lame, of the blind, had caused even this man should not have died? And Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place and where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of these people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he said that, he had spoken, and when he thus had spoken, he cried in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him, and let him go. Then Mary, many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen these things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what had happened. Every year, along about this time, in the next few weeks, you will be noticed that the newspapers, the magazines, and especially the TV guide will be running stories about people who have had deathbed have died and supposedly gone somewhere or seen something and come back to life and told that story. There's been books written by some of those people and telling their stories that they had deathbed repentance, or deathbed, and they've come back to life, and they go on TV shows and to talk shows and talk about it and so forth. And there's millions of people who have stories like that. Now, I don't know what all takes place there and whatever, but I do know that I read some of the stories that they tell. And many people will be reading those stories, and they'll be buying them books, and they'll be buying those magazines, because the magazines will be running headlines like, you know, is there a heaven? Is there life after death? Does prayer mean anything? And all sorts of things they will be running in the next month to get people's attention. But what it is, they're with the tone of, is there life after death? They try sometimes answer the question, is there life after death? And if you've read some of those, it's not a real good readings, so forth. But people tell their stories. I read the story of the man who was struck by lightning, and he meets a being of light. And this being of light tells him, he forgives him of all the sins and evils he ever done in his life. And then there is one which is told of being on an operating table and went into full cardiac arrest. And he traveled down a long tunnel in a place filled with love and beautiful white light. And then I read about the woman who said that she had died, and she had gone to this place of bliss. And when she got there, she was taken by the hand of Elvis Presley. And you just hear all kinds of things like that. And what it is, people are concerned, people are interested, people want to know, is there life after death? Well, right here, this passage right here is all we need. We don't need the magazines, we don't need the TV guide. This John chapter 11 certainly explains to us, and it also answers the problem. In fact, Easter declares there is life after death that comes right out of this chapter so plain here. And so this one man I read about said that he had smelt the shovel of earth twice. And what he had done, he had had cancer. And they had predicted that he had incurable cancer. And so twice they had told him that, and twice he had beaten it. But he said he may not do that the third time. He may not do that third time. So he has smelt the shovel of dirt twice. Now, death is the last enemy of life. We have a lot of enemies in life, don't we? I mean, so to speak. I mean, there's a lot of things we could call as our enemy. And we have many so-called enemies. But we meet most enemies head on, don't we? And we can overcome them. We can defeat them, especially with Jesus. You know, if we're serving the Lord, if the Lord is with us and so forth, if we're guided and directed with the Holy Spirit and we're living in accordance with God, we defeat all these enemies that we come up against. Even little old David could defeat that great big giant Goliath. And so, yeah, we have some small giants in life. We have some pretty good sized Goliaths in life. But we can face them. And if we face them head on with in the might and power of God, we'll defeat them. But when we come to face death, we will not defeat death. We will die. Everybody in this place, sooner or later, and we will die. When the death angel comes, we cannot overcome death. Oh, we might delay it. We might dress it up. We might deny it. But at the end, death wins. Death wins. 1 Corinthians 15:26, the Bible says, "For God's people, death is the last enemy, but after that, the judgment. Death is appointed, and no one will escape that appointment." How many times have you stood beside the grave of a loved one and cried because they have died? The scripture says that Jesus stood there at the tomb of Lazarus and he wept. Shortest verse that we have in the scripture. Lynn, when they come over to our house, or we're over to their house, Lynn, if you know Lynn, he's always coming up with things. And so he says, "Okay, before we eat, we got to everybody say a memory verse." And whatever, he'll come up with that about every time we're doing something. And he's always got something. "We got to do this, we got to do this, or we got to do that." And of course, Maxine's got him now, because she always comes up, "Jesus wept." Jesus wept. And it's the shortest verse. But here's Jesus was standing at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, brother Mary and Martha, and it says he wept. And I know many of you folks, I've stood by the graveside with you, and we wept over death, over death. You wonder why Jesus wept. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Why did he weep? I believe that he wept because he loved Lazarus and because he felt the pain of death. And I think probably he wept because he looked at Martha and Mary, and he seen on their faces the grief that they were stricken with by the loss of their brother and death. Maybe he wept for all the suffering that death brings. And death does bring suffering. And maybe he wept just because of all the death that it comes in the world. Yes, we will meet death. It's the last enemy of this life. And then death is not the end, though. It's not the end. We just read there the chapter. Mary sent word to Jesus, "Lazarus is sick. Lord, your one whom you love is sick." She wanted Jesus to come. And I'm sure that Mary thought if Jesus was there, he would have done something. He would have healed her brother, probably. She's been with Jesus, and she's seen the blind man given sight. She's seen the lame man stand up and walk at the voice of Jesus. And I'm convinced that she knew within herself, if Jesus had been here, he could do something for her brother. He could cure him. He could cure him. But Jesus, the scripture said, deliberately, as I read it there, he deliberately waited 2 days. And he spoke to the disciples here about it. He deliberately waited. And I think he did that just, and of course he knows everything. Knowing that in that time, Lazarus would die. And when Jesus arrived in Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Now Martha said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Even in deep sorrow of his brother's death, Martha showed a unanimous faith. Then she said, "If you'd have been here, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died. You'd have done something." She really believed in the power of Jesus to be able to do something that her brother would not have died. How many times have you ever thought, if Jesus had been here, I would not have lost my temper? If Jesus had have been here, my family would still been together. If Jesus had been here, my marriage wouldn't have fallen apart. But Jesus is here. Jesus is here at the site of Lazarus' tomb. What will he do? Is the question. Martha said, "He's been dead for 4 days. Boy, he stinks." Martha was thinking, "It's too late." How many times have you been in a situation and you've thought about calling upon the Lord, or you thought about doing this or that, and you've said within yourself, "It's too late. Nothing be done. Lazarus dead. What can he do? Can't heal him. He's dead. He's buried. Stone rolled up before the tomb. He's been dead 4 days. You take that stone away, he stinks." Nothing can be done for Lazarus. I'm sure she wasn't thinking about the possibility of Lazarus being resurrected. Can you visualize that crowd there? And I would surmise there's not a one in that crowd. All the Jews that had gathered there, so I'm seeing a great vast a group of people there. You know, they used to have, and of course you see now funerals and all, and where was it, a funeral yesterday up in Goshen, Ohio. One of Maxine's great niece's husband died. But we're at the funerals quite regular, aren't we? And someone said, when we're young, we spend our time going to weddings, and when we're old, we spend our time going to funerals, and that's about true. But when we go to funerals, we see great groups of people gathered. And so we can see here at Lazarus' tomb, and the grieving time is not past, and a tremendous people. But do you think that there was anyone in that group that thought that Lazarus would be resurrected? Probably not, would you? He's dead. Nothing you can do about it. He's dead now. I'm reasonably sure they wouldn't believe that. Then said Martha to him, "Lord," listen, verse 21, "Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother would not have died." Boy, I mean, that's faith. That's a strong faith. "Lord, if you've been here, my brother would not have died. But I know whatever you ask of the Lord, he'll do it." And Jesus says here, I ask you because, you know, not that he didn't know that he doesn't hear an answer, but I want it because these people here. Yes, Martha had tremendous faith. "Lord, I know whatever you asked of God, it'll be done. It'll be done." And Jesus said, "And thy brother shall rise. Thy brother shall rise." And Martha said unto him, "I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Now she believed in that. She believed, yes, the end time's going to come, and when it does, Lazarus, along with everyone else in the tomb, is going to be raised as we look forward to that now. All these out here in this cemetery, these bodies will be raised someday when Jesus comes. Well, Martha was talking about that day when the Lord comes and everybody be right. Lazarus will raise then from him too. And Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth in me, believeth in me, shall never die." Listen to those words. Believest thou this? And Martha says, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Son of God that's come into the world. Oh, what a faith that Martha had. It was upon those words of Martha that Jesus said these words that had been quoted a million times. I don't know how many times that I've quoted those words at a grave site or at a funeral. But when you think about it, the ministries that are around the world, around the nation, around the world, but even just across the nation, and how many times those words right there has been spoken at one's gravesite, at one's gravesite. And so these words have been quoted millions of times. I am the resurrection life. He who believes in me will live, even though he was dead. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Those words have always been a little mystery to me. When I read those words and it says, you know, he says here that a man will even live even if he dies. And then he goes on and says here, whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Now, think about those words there. Think about them. Even if a man dies, he will live. And if a man believes in me, he will never die. Those people have given hope to those words have given hope to people down through the years. Those words express a deep faith in Jesus Christ. How is it that you can die and not die? That's what he's saying. You're going to die, but you're not going to die. Man lives, even if he dies, he will not die. Is there a kind of death that is not really death at all? What Jesus means is, probably let us consider, you know, he means he's a master of death. That's what he means here. I would that you would look at that and what Jesus said. Jesus does not say, I have brought resurrection of life. What's it say? It says, look how personal that is. He says, I am the resurrection of life. The resurrection of life is in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Oftentimes we hear Jesus referred to here as he did to himself, as death being sleep. And as the disciples said, well, if he sleepeth, he do good. But Jesus uses that, I think, in the terms of fact, if we're thinking about somebody sleeping, then there is going to be a waking up time. So if death is just sleeping, then there's going to be a waking up time. You know, that's why when somebody lays down and goes to sleep at your house, you don't call 911. Because you know they're going to wake up. Just sleeping. And yes, this body will be laid in the grave and it will sleep there, so to speak, for years maybe many years. But there'll be a day come, and it could be very soon, when Jesus will, as he did here at Lazarus, call those bodies out and they'll come back to life. They'll come back to life. Oftentimes we hear Jesus talking about sleep. You remember Jairus' daughter? Jairus came to Jesus and said, his daughter has died. And Jesus, you know what Jesus said there? He said, she just sleepeth. He said, I'll go wake her up. Can you imagine Jairus, what he might have thought? Are those around Jesus and Jairus when Jairus came to him? And if they heard Jesus and Jairus talking, can you imagine what was going through their minds? Jairus' daughter's dead, and they've believed now, hear the news that she's dead, and now Jesus says, she just sleepeth, and I'll go wake her up. Well, he did. So their death, again, he uses the thought sleepeth. She's dead, but she's going to rise back up again. And she did. With Jesus, death is very personal again. Again, I wanted to reiterate there. He said, I am the resurrection. And that's what he asked Martha to believe. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And she said, yeah, I know who you are, Lord. You're the one who's to come. I believe that you are the Son of God. Come into the world. Men and women like the news articles about people dying and coming back. And it's interesting. I don't know how many people read those, but it's kind of intriguing sometimes to pick up some of those and read them and the stories they tell and so forth that take place. And people are, this month, there will be a lot of those magazines bought, a lot of those books bought, because people has an interest. They want to know what happens after death. They want to know, is there life after death? Can you come back after death? And so, but folks, the answer is quite simple, isn't it? Right here, Jesus has in this chapter, what does he say? If you have Jesus, after death is what? It's the resurrection. It's just that simple. Jesus said, if you die, you're going to be raised again. So we don't have to. You know, we don't have to go back, and you might want to do that. You don't have to go to the psychic hotline, or you don't have to look up the lady that talked to Elvis about the future life. It's all right here. In this short chapter here. Very plainly. And these are not my words. These are not even Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John's words. These are words right off the lip of Jesus that tells what happens after death. Is there life after death? Jesus says there's a resurrection a coming here. You may remember the very sad story some years ago when there was 39 men and women, and they themselves cut themselves off from the Word of God, really is what they did, and they were out in California when it took place. And it was a cult group, and they were called the Heaven's Gate. And you probably remember that story. And what they did, they mixed a few Bible verses with some bizarre science fiction stuff, and they threw in a little bit of new age mysticism, and they created a heady brew that led them to believe that if they would take their lives, that there was a UFO coming, and if they would take their lives, they then would be able to travel on the UFO and go into eternity. That's very sad to think that way. Why would they do that? Very sad. Very sad. What happened there is that they got away from the Word of God. When we get away from the Word of God, we don't have answers, and we'll do some foolish things sometimes. And that was a very foolish thing to do. They got away from the Word of God. The Word of God is right here and tells us exactly what will happen and what's going to take place. And so, Jesus is the answer, isn't it? Jesus answers life after. Is there life after death? Jesus has the answer. And Jesus is the answer to the death for all of us. He says to you, he says to me, he speaks right here to Mary and Martha, and to the Jews here about death and what takes place here. In the presence of Jesus, death is no longer death. That's the way it's sin, isn't it? You can die, but you're not going to die. You're going to live. And what he's saying, in Jesus, death is no more death. No more dying. It's something else entirely. As Paul said later in the New Testament, you know, death, where had lost its sting. He said, you know, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? He said, well, he was really making fun of the grave, wasn't he? He said, what? Because he knew Jesus to be the resurrector, the resurrection. Jesus said, he that believes on me will live even though he dies. Think about that. He that believes on me, even though he dies, he will live. Isn't that encouraging? I think that, you know, that is one of the greatest comforts to me in this life, is the fact to know that when I die, I won't die. You know? And it's a, when I die, I won't die. I won't die. I think that's the greatest comfort a Christian has. This world we live in, many things happen to us. We can go through a lot of things. Wherever we're at and whatever's taking place, you can always have comfort in the fact, when I die, I won't be dead. I won't be dead. I read of this man. He's 62 years of age, had cancer, terminal cancer. And he was an unbeliever till the day he died, the moment he died. And his wife said something like this. She said, for the last 20 years, we've been married for 20 years, and we have never been separable. Always been together. And she said when her husband died there, as she sat there and watched her husband die, she said there was no repentance. There was no deathbed repentance, as some people call it. There was nothing out of him concerning the future and so forth. And she says there was no doubt in anybody's mind that even though they had been inseparable for 20 years, there was no doubt in anybody's mind that they would never meet again. Never meet again. That's sad. That's sad. Never meet again. No pretending. No use pretending, she said, because she knew he had not believed. It has to be very sad to come to the end of life and believe there's nothing more. To think one just vanishes away, passing into the dark of night. I don't know whether you read last week or not, but down in the Grand Canyon, and there was a fellow here from one of the other nations, and somewhere, well, I guess there's a lot of places, there's some down in Tennessee like that, and there's cliffs, and you can look down for, what, 1,000 feet even, or hundreds of feet, and there's some places that they don't have guards, and they tell you not to go close, and this fellow was wanting to take a picture, and he stepped over close, and he stumped his toe, and he fell over and died. Fell. And you know, to think that life is nothing but just going and walking off of a cliff and nothing left. Just, you know, that's sad to think that there's no existence there. No existence. But folks, we must face it. Without Jesus, we have no hope. Without Jesus, we have no hope. No hope of eternal life. No hope of eternal life in the presence of God and God's glory. And I might say this in closing. It might be comforting for some people. And I can visualize that, can't you? That it might be comfortable to some people to think that when I'm dead and gone and there's nothing more. You know, if I could believe that, I can't. But it must be something for people to think that you're dead, that's it. The old saying, you know, somebody says about death, I forget who says that, you know, that said, it's like a little dog Rover. When you die, you're dead all over. And there's nothing left. Your existence. No, we're quite different from little dog Rover. To think that we disappear from extinction, but the Bible is very plain that there is life. There is life after death, and to leave this life without Jesus and to go into eternal separation of God, to go into eternity, as Jesus said, to a place called hell. And we don't preach a lot on hell here. And you know, one of the reasons I don't is because, you know, we've got people here who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're with Martha, aren't we? We believe that Jesus is a resurrection. He will resurrect. And if we die, we too will live. And so we have that hope. But it's so sad. So we don't have to really dwell on hell. And we don't have to preach on hell to people who is prepared to go into the glory of God, do we? I mean, it's almost senseless to do that. Occasionally we want to warn people, as Jesus did, about the place of hell. But if we're with Jesus, if we die, we won't experience death. It'll be going on into the glory and bliss of the Lord. The Bible speaks very plain about it. Leave this life without Jesus is to go into eternity without being in the glory of God. Can you imagine how it must be for that crowd that was with Lazarus that day, or with Jesus there at the Lazarus grave? And have you ever thought about why Jesus really raised him? You know, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, you know what happened? The Jews sought to kill him. And Jesus knew that if he raised Lazarus from the dead, he'd die again. And he did. Why do you think he did that? Here's what I think. I think this is a big reason he did it. Jesus did that so that we would know he could do it. I don't think there was any other reason. He didn't do it just to comfort Martha and Mary, which that did. But the reason he did, that we would know that he could do it. Now listen, anybody could say, I'm the resurrection. I could say that. You could say that. But only Jesus could do what he did. And he did that so you and I could know there is life after what we call death. He did that for you and for me. I believe that's why Paul said, to die is to gain. I believe that's why David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I believe that's why Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, yea, though he die, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me, says Jesus, will never die. And Jesus asked Martha, do you believe it? I ask you with Jesus' words, do you believe that? Let us stand and sing. If you don't believe that, come to believe that today. First verse, just as I am without one plea. Just as I am without one plea, but that the blood was shed for me. bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Amen. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your kind attention, work. And I know that you've heard that story over and over, but just want to reassure you from the Word of God, if you die, you won't die if you're with Jesus. You know, another person that I had on my mind this morning, I had on my note up there, is we told you last week that 11th of next month, well, Donna's going to have this operation, and so we're going to keep praying for her day by day. And when that time comes, the thing's going to just be great and wonderful, and she'll go through that, and everything will be fine. So it's not wrong, and we ought to pray. We know these things. Hey, if something's going to happen a month away, well, start praying about it. And so we're going to be praying every day for you, Donna. Things are going to work out for you and Mike there, and God will do a good thing for you. God bless you. All of you, as you can, come be at the hymn sing tonight. We know you enjoy that time together. And if not, we look forward to seeing you Friday night. We'll have a great time together. And if the Lord tarries, we'll just keep on praising Him only. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, you're so good to us and so wonderful, Heavenly Father, to know. But the great comfort that we have as Christians to know, Heavenly Father, people are dying all around us. And there's people dying without Christ, people dying without hope. So, Heavenly Father, we that have hope, we that who have placed our faith in Jesus, help us to share this coming week with those who don't know Jesus, so that they, Heavenly Father, if they die, they won't experience death. It'll just be good passing on. It'll be going from this life to that great life that is appointed to all men who believe in Jesus Christ. So now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this group of people gathered here in the name of Christ. We pray for each one present, Heavenly Father, as we leave this place. Grant to them a safe week. Grant to the helm, Heavenly Father, a prosperous week. Help them to have a wonderful time together in Christ Jesus' name. We praise you and thank you for it. Amen. God bless you.